Chapter 15.
Belachar Sector. 0 days after Plan
K-10.
There was no light aboard the Trumpet's call except the dim glow of the secondary bridge console. Brand preferred it that way. The enhanced optics of her plexometal mask allowed her to pick out bloodstains and electrical circuits in the dark, and the shadows would give her cover in case she wasn't alone. She'd boarded the vessel after the last of the injured had been evacuated to the Thunderstrike. She still wasn't certain what troubled her about the scenario, and she was well aware she might be looking for problems where none existed, occupying her mind through paranoia. In that case, she was wasting nothing but her own copious free time. But if the Trumpet's call had been tracked to the flotilla somehow, tagged with a homing beacon or sabotaged by a spy or blackmailed into reporting its position, she was prepared to deal with those possibilities too. She was well acquainted with the extremes to which men and women, imperial and otherwise, human or non-human, would go to accomplish their goals. She'd swept for beacons already, found nothing but the bodies of more crew members. Most appeared to have suffocated. A few had burned to death. She couldn't determine when the ship's life support had lost primary power. Onboard diagnostics were garbled, and while she might have been able to run the numbers based on the number of survivors and the oxygen supply remaining, she'd need a droid for the math. In the meantime, there were other avenues open to her through the main computer. Its hyperspace jump logs were consistent with the crew's statements. The Trumpet's call was a light freighter assigned to passenger transport and cargo duty. It had been operating among the Purse Worlds as a trading vessel, changing its identity records and name, Eyesore, Careful Buyer, whenever the Empire began to suspect something. Apparently, Trumpet's call was past due to be retired as an alias, as the ship had been attacked sometime in the last several days. That was neither surprising nor suspicious. The crew had done a good job forging records, but the Empire was growing better at identifying fraud every year. Maybe, Brand thought, she'd retired at the right time. Who needed bounty hunters when the Imperial security state ran so smoothly? Regardless, the jump log neither confirmed nor alleviated her suspicions. She began attempting to access other computer files one by one. Many of the files were corrupt. Others were encrypted. Another task for a droid aboard the Thunderstrike. Still, there was enough data to keep her occupied. Cargo records, maintenance reports, a crew roster, personnel files. She pulled up the roster and opened the captain's entry, only to immediately recognize him as the dead body she'd stepped over to reach the bridge. She skimmed the details. No personal history, just name and age and homeworld and visas and vaccination history, half of it likely faked, and opened the next record. She skimmed each dossier in turn and looked for something off. Something that suggested tampering or a vulnerability the Empire had taken advantage of. She found nothing that indicated the men and women of the Trumpet's call were anything other than victims. Then she reached the last record. She stared at the screen. Before she'd even finished her mental recreation of the attack, she was running toward the airlock. Earning a living as a bounty hunter meant learning to pick out and memorize faces. Surveillance was part of the game, and technological enhancement, cybernetic eyes, image-matching lenses, couldn't make an oblivious tracker observant. Brand's strengths weren't with people, but she'd compensated by training, running through black market versions of the Coruscant Underworld Police Recruitment Test. She'd honed her mind, rewired her brain, until it worked the way she needed. She rarely doubted her memory. She did now. None of the faces from the ship's personnel records matched the patients transported to the Thunderstrike's medbay. Whoever was aboard the Thunderstrike, it wasn't the crew of the Trumpet's call. She tried to open a link to the Thunderstrike's bridge through her mask's comm as she tapped at the airlock control panel and watched the circular metal door roll open. No answer. She stepped into the airlock, waited for the pressure to equalize with the Thunderstrike's interior, and tried her squad frequency. No response from Gadrin, Roach, or Charmer either. Her mask's display told her the exact time of day. That was how she knew it took a full minute for the exterior door to open and admit the piercing sound of klaxons. As she raced aboard the Thunderstrike, she wondered if that minute could have made any difference. Twilight Company had been infiltrated, and Brand was too late to stop it.